May I speak and may we all receive God's word in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Two different people, a man and a woman. Luke is very fond of contrasting pairs, Simeon and Anna, saints and sinners, Jesus and John the Baptist, and here we are again, a man and a woman. A righteous and upright citizen, Simon the Pharisee, and an unnamed woman in the city who was a sinner. A man who knew what the law required, and a woman who knew what the Lord required. A man of faith, faith in proper procedures, and a woman of faith in Jesus Christ. So, two questions. With whom do you identify, and who would you rather be, the upright man or the sinful woman? Perhaps, like me, your choice changes as you read through the story, and imagine yourself sitting there at the table of a respectable member of the church, the dean perhaps, a residentiary canon, a church warden. That's not meant to insult them, for Pharisees were good religious people, doing what they thought the Lord had told them to do. If Simon were alive today, he'd be eligible for one of those spare tickets for this afternoon's service. The bad press Pharisees have is not entirely justified. So many of us, if we are honest, probably have a lot of sympathy with Simon, and we may even recognize ourselves in him. But we are steered very clearly by the narrative to side with the sinful woman. She finds favor with Jesus, whereas Simon definitely comes out as the baddie. So we have a random invitation to dinner, Simon to Jesus. Though given Luke's interest in the synagogue and the number of times he has Jesus hanging around with local religious people, it's not much of a surprise to find Jesus at dinner with them. In fact, there are three such stories in this gospel alone, which serve to build the tension between Jesus and the Pharisees, until eventually it's stated quite clearly that they are deliberately out to trap him. So a dinner party then, nothing unusual in that. But suddenly the unseen arrival of an uninvited guest. A guest who went unnoticed until she touches Jesus in a rather personal and intimate incident involving tears, feet, ointment and hair, evoking a response of indignation from the host. Simon is definitely not amused. And Jesus appears to read Simon's mind, for the text tells us only that Simon speaks to himself as he wonders what Jesus is up to. So Jesus asks Simon a leading question, forcing himself to be given away. He tells the story of two debtors owing different amounts of money. It doesn't take a theological symposium to work out that the one who owes the most is the woman, because her debt is greater, and she is definitely a sinner. But Simon is backed into a corner. He knows what the right answer is. The one who's forgiven most will obviously be the most grateful. And you can sense him realizing that he's cooked his own goose. And just when you think it can't get any worse, Jesus embarrasses him by comparing Simon's ungenerous hospitality, which is hard to explain, with the overflowing kindness of the sinful woman of the city. So where are you standing now? On Simon's side or on the woman's side? We know we should say we're on the woman's side, but I still feel a bit sorry for Simon, as well as a sense of joy for the woman. Because Simon has been taught all his life that the righteousness of God prevents God from being close to sinners. Simon passes every test with flying colours. He knows the law, he does things well, he goes to proper worship, he keeps ritually clean. And he knew that it was by upholding the purity code, with its separation of the elect from sinners, that people like Simon could be sure that they would gain salvation. You can't blame him for being concerned that this unpredictable leader, possibly a prophet, who's just recently healed a centurion's slave and raised a widow's son, is flouting the rules rather disrespectfully. So the tone changes again. It's not just that Jesus allows a woman of dubious morals to perform intimate tasks of hospitality, but he goes on to forgive sins. How can Jesus do that when everybody knows that sins are forgiven by God after proper fulfillment of the law? Well, we hear nothing more of Simon in this story. We don't know whether he sees the point, looks a bit shamefaced, and becomes a friend of the woman, or whether he goes back to the dining table muttering under his breath and making sure to wash his hands very carefully. Neither do we know what happens to this particular woman, who may have joined Jesus' entourage or disappeared into the night. She might be Mary Magdalene, but there's no real evidence. What we do know for sure is that at some stage, before this episode or during it, her sins are forgiven and she is thankful. Well, this story is linked with the next phase of Jesus' ministry, when, ironically, he goes off with a bunch of women and some disciples. But this time the women have names: Mary, Susanna, Joanna, and so on. So Luke moves us in an understated way from a place where a woman is unclean and unacceptable to a place where Jesus is sharing his life and being resourced by women who are clearly known as his partners in mission. Well, this whole story echoes many of Luke's favorite themes: the importance of the synagogue, the upholding of the underdog, the prevalence of the communal meal table and all that goes on around it, forgiveness and acceptance, and the rather loose delineation of who is a disciple, and the comparison between the real world inhabited by people in a context and the anticipated world of the kingdom, where the rules are different. In the real world, as they know it, Simon is definitely righteous and trumps the sinful woman. But in the world which is anticipated in Jesus Christ, the righteous are those who are generous and gracious and able to be forgiven. So today's story is not about judging between Simon and the woman, or between Pharisees and sinners, though it sounds like that. It's more about reassessing everything and redrawing the boundaries. The past was not all bad. Simon was not completely wrong. But the new gospel overwhelms and eclipses everything which has gone before. It challenges people to see things in a new light, including previous relationships. So we don't blame Simon for withdrawing from sinners. That's what we do sometimes, isn't it? I don't want to associate with drug dealers or terrorists. I've worried about my children getting in with the wrong crowd. I want to keep them safe and with the right people. And yet, if Jesus chooses to forgive and embrace people like this, as he did in the woman of the city, that leaves us in a difficult place. Because we too are challenged to move towards people with the blessing of peace, rather than walking away from them with a superior scowl. For in the new world, righteousness is the rather shocking mercy of God, rather than a collection of rules to be observed. Those who are unrighteous are not those who forget the law, but those who show contempt for others. So where are you standing now at the end of this story? With Simon or the woman? Or maybe a bit of both? Who are you most like when you are at your best and at your worst? Maybe a bit of both. And what do you need to do now then in the light of your reflection? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.